The following is a public affairs program of WZMO Radio. Sacred Conversations is a 30-minute program with three Marian pastors sitting around a kitchen table with coffee and donuts chatting. Let's listen in.
Hello and welcome to Sacred Conversations, a 30-minute episode where we have three pastors from Marian at three different denominational churches talking about our common Christian faith. My name is Father Ed Shekina, the pastor of St. Mary Church in Marian, as well as Sacred Hearts Church in Cardington. And then we have, as well, Pastor Chuck Osborne from Day Spring Wesleyan. He was not able to be here with us today, so we wish him well. Today it'll just be the two of us, and I'll let Pastor Jen introduce herself.
Yeah, I'm Pastor Jennifer Bass, and I am the lead pastor at Epworth United Methodist Church right here in downtown Marian.
Our topic for today regarding the Holy Spirit. So this past Sunday, we just celebrated Pentecost, which is 50 days after the Easter resurrection of Jesus. And at Pentecost is the coming of the Holy Spirit. So we decided that it would be a great topic to talk about the Holy Spirit in the life of the church. What does it mean? How do we understand the Holy Spirit? What does it mean for all of us as Christians? So I'd like to begin with a prayer, an opening prayer. And in the Catholic Church, we typically open our prayer with the Trinitarian formula, which calls as well upon the Holy Spirit. So in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for this day. Thank you for the blessings you bestowed upon us. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, whom you sent to save us. And we thank you as well for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who reminds us and teaches us of what Jesus has taught us, and who gives us comfort and consolation, and empowers us to be Christians. And so we thank you for this opportunity, for this radio station, and for all of our listeners. We pray that this Holy Spirit will lead us in our conversation today, that it may be fruitful for all who are listening. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pastor Jen, would you like to lead us with a reading from the Acts of the Apostles?
Absolutely. So one of the primary scriptures for Pentecost Sunday is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. On the day of Pentecost, 7 weeks after Jesus' resurrection, the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm in the skies above them, and it filled the house where they were meeting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. Godly Jews from many nations were living in Jerusalem at the time. When they heard this sound, they came running to see what it was all about, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were beside themselves with wonder. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking the languages of the lands where we were born. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya towards Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabians, and we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done."
Okay, thank you so much. So what I love about this particular passage of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit is that there's actually a reference to Genesis, all the way back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 11, where it's the Tower of Babel story. And so you have what it says in the text is that, in the scripture text, is that all the people had been speaking just one language, they had one common language, and in their pride, they decided that they wanted to build a big city for themselves, as well as a tower that goes to the skies. They wanted to make a name for themselves. And so in sort of their pride of saying, we can do all this ourselves and have no regard for God himself, God comes down, he sees their pride. He says, if we leave them as they are, who knows what else they'll do. And so what What does he do? He confuses their language. So they end up speaking multiple languages then. They can't understand each other. Mm-hmm. And then what happens then is they stop building the city. They stop building the tower. And then they're scattered all over the earth. And so here we have this Holy Spirit Pentecost reading, which is sort of a reversal of what happened back then. So now you have multiple languages that are being spoken, and yet at the same time, everybody's able to understand each other. And the one common thing that they're able to understand is, of course, are the mighty acts of God. And so the Holy Spirit unites us, and we are all scattered, and yet at the same time, what Jesus wants is for us to be united together and gathered together. So, Pastor Jen, what do you think might be some of the implications of this? Certainly there are many things that we can pull from this particular reading. But what does it mean that the Holy Spirit has come?
It's really interesting to think about this scripture passage from a United Methodist perspective. In the United Methodist denomination, we really prioritize grace. And we believe that God's grace has been with us from before we were even aware. And then certainly God's grace is with us when we come to that realization that Jesus Christ in his life, death, and resurrection is sufficient for the salvation of our souls. But then also that God's grace continues with us to continue to polish and shape us into Christ's likeness and into the people that God has made us to be. And so I really love thinking about the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, just helping people to understand again that God loves them and that God has sent Jesus Christ for them. And that gives me such a tremendous amount of comfort. And then certainly we see the empowerment of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit seems to fill to overflowing all of the disciples who start proclaiming the good news. And so I certainly love this scripture for Pentecost Sunday, and I love that beautiful reminder that the Holy Spirit helps each one of us to understand more about God's love for us, and also that the Holy Spirit fills us with power to do the work God has called us to do, to join in the work that God's already doing all around us. What would you say that Pentecost means to you personally as a Christian and as a pastor, as a Catholic priest?
Well, yeah, thanks for the question. Two things that come to mind from what you just said. You were talking about, you used the word power, and then the fact that we have all of our different languages is sort of a symbol of how we're all different. Mm-hmm. Every single one of us are different. We have different cultures. We have maybe different beliefs and different value systems. And yet at the same time, the Holy Spirit is the one that helps us to be united. The fact that we can love each other, even despite our differences, mm-hmm. I think is one of the things that the Holy Spirit does. It's what Jesus wanted, again, for us all to be united. And then, so just the empowerment to be able to live the Christian way of life. And speaking of empowerment, one of the analogies that I used even in preaching this past weekend was that of a sports car. So just a few days ago, even I was driving on the street in Marion, and in front of me, stopped in front of me was this Corvette Stingray. So, and it looked like a brand new Corvette, 2025, very fancy, mm-hmm. fire red, and I could hear, even just as we're sitting there stopped, the engine is in idle, but I could hear the sort of rumbling power of the engine. I could feel it even in my own car, could feel the power. And I'm sure it is quite powerful and fast. I looked it up, as it can have over 1,000 horsepower. And
that's
yet
amazing.
At the same time, despite all of its potential power, if it has no fuel, then it can't go. It actually has no power at all to
mm-hmm,
go.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was reflecting on how we can be Christians, we can know about Jesus, we can know about how we are to act, but if we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit is like the fuel that powers us to actually live the Christian way of life.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. And so that's why we need the Holy Spirit. We even hear after the Easter resurrection, where Jesus tells the disciples to stay in the city of Jerusalem. He says, wait until you're clothed from on high, or mm-hmm. wait until the power comes down upon you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can then go out, and that's what happens, right? They see him in his resurrection, but they don't immediately go out and just start proclaiming the good news. It's only after Pentecost, only after the Holy Spirit comes upon them, that they are then able to be effectively proclaim the message of salvation, the message of who Jesus is, what he came for, that he came to save us, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's sort of the important message of the Holy Spirit itself,
mm-hmm.
is it empowers us, gives
yes.
us the power to live as Christians.
I absolutely agree with what you're saying, and I really love that analogy of the sports car and the sports car needing to be filled, and not just with like low grade fuel, but with like
yes.
the high octane real thing that is designed for that specific engine, so that it can perform the way that it was made to perform.
Yeah.
We at Epworth this past Sunday, we tied Pentecost to the scripture in Luke chapter 11, where Jesus is talking to the Pharisee who was upset that Jesus hadn't washed his hands before a meal. And Jesus said his observation in this scripture passage in Luke 11 was that the Pharisees were really good at washing the outside of the cup and the dish, but on the inside, they were not as holy as they thought they were. And so I talked about the kinds of cups that we sometimes find around the house. For instance, you know, if you use the same coffee cup for 2 weeks, then you know it's going to get really badly stained on the inside. If you fill a cup or a mug with hot chocolate and marshmallows and you leave it in your sink overnight, it's going to get real crusty and gross. Or if, for instance, you fill up a cup with some sweet tea and then you leave it in your workshop for a couple of weeks, you're going to come back and that is going to be so gross. But, and then I guess I should ask, would you turn around and would you drink out of that cup without thoroughly washing the inside? Would you give that cup to your next house guest without thoroughly washing it? And one of the lovely things about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit does this wonderful work of sanctifying us, helping to clean us up from the inside out, and to turn us more toward Christ-likeness. And I just thought that was so funny because, of course, as I'm preparing to preach this sermon, you know, I found one of those cups that somebody had set down in like the guest bedroom and then forgot about for a week and da da da. But you know, I really appreciate hearing about your specific scripture reference and your sermon illustration about the Holy Spirit being the right proper fuel that we need to join in God's work and to become the people that God has created us to be as brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ.
And we must, continue to ask for the Holy Spirit. That's what we're hoping to do, is to ask for the Holy Spirit to be with us. I always tell people, hey, a 3-word prayer that you could say at any moment is, come Holy Spirit. What is, you're inviting the Holy Spirit in. Let's say you're getting tempted to blow up at a driver in front of you, right? how many people get impatient with others on the road? And we could just simply say to ourselves, or, you know, ask the Holy Spirit to be with us, come Holy Spirit. And then, you know, if we have a little bit more time, we could say, help me to be patient in this particular moment.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, if we're getting ready to have a difficult conversation with our spouse or our kids, you know, again, we could say, come Holy Spirit, help me to be kind, or help me to say the right words.
Mm-hmm.
So we're inviting the Holy Spirit in to and essentially do the work of God, right? And we're just the participants.
Yeah.
But we certainly don't want to just do things under our own power, like those inhabitants who tried to build the Tower of Babel It was just their own power. They were just ignoring God. It actually says that they were afraid of being scattered over the earth, which is why that was their motivation. Mm. It was actually fear that drove them. But instead, we're invited to have that trust in God, and then He'll help us. And so we do have the Holy Spirit promised to us by Jesus. And that He would send it, the Holy Spirit, to be with us. But at the same time, in our everyday life, we should be calling upon the Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us, to help us. And I love how you even brought up, you know, the cleansing of the inside is what's more important, mm-hmm. is what Jesus wanted, and it's the cleansing of the heart. And so how often did Jesus talk about, well, you know, you've heard it said, you shall not kill, and, you know, when we talk about killing, that's typically murder. So it's an external action. But Jesus says, but I say to you, even those who are angry with their brother from their heart, or who say, you fool, and where does that, what is he saying? Is that, where does that anger actually come from? It comes from the heart. Mm-hmm. So he says, essentially, what really needs to be changed is not just the external actions, but what's within. So it's great. Something else, what does he also say? You've heard it said, don't commit adultery. Well, that's an external action, but he says, even if you look with lust at another person, you're committing adultery in your heart. So again, the heart is what needs to be cleansed. Mm-hmm. But that's not something that we can completely control on our own. We can't just completely change ourselves on our own. So mm-hmm. we need the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, and I'll tell you, that is a prayer that God loves to answer. We know that in other scripture passages, Jesus explains that that God is a good heavenly Father who loves to give good gifts to His children. And so if a child were to ask a father for an egg or a piece of bread, a good father would not give them, a snake or a stone. A good father would give them the food that they are asking for. And he says, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And so we know that that's a prayer that God loves to answer when we just ask in faith, God, I need more Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes people make jokes about how their prayer is serenity now. Have you heard that? Mm-hmm. Serenity now. And I have found myself praying similarly. Holy Spirit now.
Yes.
I need the Holy Spirit. But I feel such comfort from knowing that that is a prayer that God loves to answer for God's people. And so I really appreciate that three-word prayer that you introduced. Come, Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and, you know, so it's important for us to, recognize that, you know, yes, certainly we could talk to God the Father, and we want to talk to God the Father. Jesus always pointed to God the Father. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Jesus is our Savior and our Lord, and we should always talk to Him. You know, but let's not forget about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person of the Trinity. So, mm-hmm. How do we know that there is even a Holy Spirit? Well, Jesus Himself told us. He kept talking about, you know, when I leave, I'll send you the Holy Spirit. Or he even said, you know, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We can't really know that there is a Holy Spirit just from our own reasoning. You know, like we can maybe say that, well, there is one God who created the whole universe. We can maybe sort of reason that out, but we can't reason that there's this thing called three, in the Catholic theology, we say three persons in one God, mm-hmm. Except that Jesus Himself told us that. So that's how we know there's a Holy Spirit. And then, of course, we hear these, like from these scripture readings, that the Holy Spirit indeed was someone who was sent, who came mm-hmm. upon us. And so, yeah, we certainly need the Holy Spirit to be with us.
And John 14, you know, John, as Jesus is given His farewell discourse, He promises the coming of the Holy Spirit, just like you were saying a moment ago. And He says the Holy Spirit will be an advocate. What do you think that word, what does that word mean to you in your tradition or in your understanding?
Well, advocate, it means somebody who comes sort of like a defense lawyer, somebody who comes to your defense.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And comes to help us, comes to defend us against the evil one, comes to help us. I might as well just read this gospel reading what you just referenced.
Oh,
this
okay.
This is from John chapter 14. Verses 15 through 16, as well as 23 to 26. So it says, Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Those who do not love me do not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you." So we hear just a little bit about, okay, what is the role of the Holy Spirit? To teach us everything, remind us of all that Jesus has taught us. Again, we're hearing that Jesus was very explicit about this Holy Spirit who will be sent to us, and so he's always going to teach us whenever we have maybe difficult situations that we need to learn. What is it, God, you want us to do? We can always ask the Holy Spirit as well. Maybe give us some signs about, you know, should I sell this house or not, mm-hmm. or should I buy mm-hmm. this house or not. And as long as we're asking for the Holy Spirit to be with us, we can certainly look for those signs. And maybe one sign is just peace.
Absolutely.
You know, peace that's, as Jesus says, it's not a peace that the world gives. It's not a peace that's just simply an absence of war or conflict, but an inner peace. And so we can certainly maybe make decisions if we're at peace that indeed God himself is the one that's guiding us in that.
And I would be interested to ask you this. So one of the things that caught me as you were reading that scripture from John 14 is that Jesus says, "I'll send you another advocate." And so it reminded me that there are scriptures that speak about Jesus interceding with us at God's side in heaven.
Right.
And also that the Holy Spirit intercedes with us, intercedes for us. With groans beyond words,
yes.
Which is always helpful to me when I wonder, am I praying the right words? It's always helpful to me to remember that even the Holy Spirit can pray beyond any sort of need for words, and that's helpful to me. But can you talk a little bit about what that is like in the Catholic tradition in terms of knowing that Jesus intercedes, the Holy Spirit intercedes?
Yeah, certainly. Yep. We can, of course, go directly to Jesus always. We can go directly and pray to him. But at the same time, Jesus did say over and over again about sending the Holy Spirit. So we can certainly ask for the Holy Spirit to be with us. If there are times when maybe we're feeling discouraged or dejected, maybe we're just so exhausted and we can't even really pray for anything, we can even just trust that, you know, God knows our hearts. The Holy Spirit searches our hearts. He knows what we need. And so we can even just take comfort in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, I think it's in a sense, resting in the Holy Spirit, just receiving his peace, resting in the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's, good. You know, I wouldn't say there's any one particular way that we should pray. Like we shouldn't pray to the Father only or pray to Jesus only.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
You could certainly ask for the Holy Spirit to be with us. I wanted to share as well, there's in the Catholic Church on Pentecost Sunday something called the sequence. It's called the sequence because we have our readings at the beginning, the first part of the Mass, the first half of Mass, we have a reading from the Old Testament, then a reading from the New Testament, and then we have a reading from the Gospel. And just from just between the second reading and the gospel reading, we usually sing Alleluia,
mm-hmm.
and a particular verse that from the scriptures that kind of gives us the theme. But there's this just on special feast days, we have sequence because, which comes from the word sequential. So usually in the old days, we would sing an Alleluia, and then it'd be followed by a longer scripture verse or some sort of poetry. So anyway, this sequence we had on Pentecost Sunday is all about coming or asking for the Holy Spirit to come. And what I love about this is that it the text itself sheds some light on what the different aspects of the Holy Spirit are for us. And so how can we understand the Holy Spirit? Let me just read this. So, come Holy Spirit, come, and from your celestial home shed a ray of light divine. Come, Father of the poor, come, source of all our store, come, within our bosoms shine, you a comfort of comforters the best, you the soul's most welcome guest, sweet refreshment here below, in our labor rest most sweet, grateful coolness in the heat, solace in the midst of woe, O most blessed light divine, shine within these hearts of yours, and our inmost being fill. Where you are not, we have not, nothing good in deed or thought, nothing free from taint of ill. Heal our wounds, our strength renew, on our dryness pour your dew, wash the stains of guilt away, bend the stubborn heart and will, melt the frozen, warm the chill, guide the steps that go astray, on the faithful who adore and confess you evermore, in your sevenfold gift descend. Give them virtue's sure reward. Give them your salvation, Lord. Give them joys that never end. Amen. Alleluia. So what I love about this is if we just look at some of the just different descriptions about how the Holy Spirit sheds a ray of light divine upon us, or that he's the comforter, or that he is our sweet refreshment. He gives us rest in our labors. He's the coolness in the heat. He gives us solace in the midst of woe. You know, it's sort of like what Jesus said, you know, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Mm-hmm. He renews our strength. He heals our wounds. He gives us dew in times of dryness, warms the chill. And then towards the end, of course, gives us the sevenfold gifts. And so that's something that we will actually talk about in episode 4. There's so much richness about the Holy Spirit that we'll actually be talking about in our next episode, more about the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. Etc. And then, of course, it ends with the fact that the Holy Spirit gives us joy. With that, thank you, Pastor Jen, for this great conversation on the Holy Spirit. We hope that it has been fruitful for all of our listeners. It'll further deepen your understanding, your awareness, your desire to call upon the Holy Spirit. Again, we want to be filled with the fuel of the Holy Spirit, but it is good for us to ask. Mm-hmm. So simply ask for the Holy Spirit, and then you will. Mm-hmm. All right, so thank you for all of our listeners.
I'm Pastor Jennifer Bass of Epworth United Methodist Church. We worship on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. And during the month of June, on each Wednesday of the month, we are having a free hot dog lunch out in our green space. And that is from 11 to 1, and we would love to see you there.
Okay, and I'm Father Ed Shakina, the pastor of St. Mary Church in Marion, as well as Sacred Hearts Church in Cardington. And our Mass times are in Marion, 5 p.m. on Saturday evenings, as well as Sunday mornings, 8 a.m., 11 a.m., and then 1 p.m. Spanish Mass. And then in Cardington, Saturday evening at 4:30 p.m., as well as Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Thank you for all of you for listening. We'll just a short closing prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle them the fire of your love. Amen. Amen.
Sacred Conversations is heard twice a week on WZMO. Check our website program schedule for times, or you can hear the program on demand from our website anytime. Thank you for listening.